They go, right, what I want to talk about being strong and courageous. And because I feel it'd be very easy to become glorious and good, but the nicer could be in that. You can And late in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 29, I always thought about these comments that the name is Joshua, and then combine them to yourself here. Many years ago, this me went up to Father's Church in Oldham, in Manchester, and I had a great town up there in the north of England, and they had a rugby league team. And the rugby league team were the Oldham Bears. And they used to meet right up to the really windswept ground, just for one right there they were, in this sort of windswept ground, and we had all the guys who'd gone to the digital support for the years, their black hats, and I went up on the back of the same one, baby, and he'd go into the land, they're their black hats, they're crying their tongues, and they'd watch their team. Then suddenly, the Oldham in America. Suddenly, the new premiership was created, and they suddenly had hunger, which is hilarious, you know, the wind swept rain of hunger. You know,
when you're in progress, you ring, you walk through something, something's happening, where am I going?
But if he's not there,
yes, it's a dream, it's gone.
And it takes a long time to get your head round, right? It's changed. For Moses, for Joshua, it was this moment. Moses is dead. Now Moses has been a great man. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He crossed the Red Sea. They've seen the God within. God's met him face to face. They've seen his face shining in the presence of God. The people knew God was with Moses. But that moment, when Joshua told Moses to death, there's also a moment of thinking, what are they going to think? Was there security in Moses? Is there security in God? The other thing is this. Moses was determined that the presence of God was going to be whatever. In Exodus 33, this is the main story, where God says, I'm not going with you. Just after I'm making the serpent, the idol, and God says, I'm not going to go with you. I'll keep my promise. I'm going to send an angel with you, and you can go and have the land. The angel will clear it for you. You can take the land, but I'm going to be with you. And the people hear that, and they're suddenly in despair. Is repentance from those people. How can we be for God if God isn't with us? How can we say we're the people of God? God's not our thing. And this cry comes up and cry out, and Moses says, stop speaking with God. You can't leave us. Now, actually, what I've been offered is quite a big deal. They could have had all the promised land and had an angel do it before them. But God didn't. In fact, they probably should have been more successful in taking the land. If you actually look at the whole story, there's something they never said because of their relationship with God. But actually, this is what God said. But God also said, I don't want to go with you because you're sick of people like your Lord. God is a man of evil. God is God of evil. Did that happen? They cry out, no, you've got to be with us. God says, I will be with you. You will be my people. I will go with you. Yes! God gives his promise. He says, look, if you go with me, there's consequences, including Moses. Moses never goes into the promised land. One going. In fact, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he gets to stand on the promised land. That's what he's going to do. But Moses, everyone knew God was with him. When he died, that's who he was with him. But the promise of God was this. I don't believe you. God had a lot to do with him. I myself was looking over when I'm preparing to go. Because God has been with me in the years of farming the land. And it hasn't been a smooth story. You know, it's not been sort of like, hey, it's just, we're now a hard place to reach. It's hard work. And actually, at times you've been there, battling away. But this day is a different day. You're now at the point where you aren't now viewed with the suspicion of they won't be around tomorrow. So suddenly, they're key to our community. There's a challenge. But God has always been with you and will be with you the same. He is with you. He's in the midst of what you're doing. You would not have had this if God was not with you. God is with you. God is God's great husband and great man. Let's face it, let's always take the fact. It can't have been because of Stuart's administrative skills and his writing of documents and his budget planning that got you to do it. It's because he's incredibly gracious and loving that he did that stuff and was out of sync for so long, and because he loved you that he did that. But actually, the reason you got it is because of God. But those days now, I've not known where you're going to lead me, the men of God, Mr. Sedler. Or a mask or whatever, are over. They're done. You've got a home. You've got a home. You're going to be dead. That's dead. This is now alive. God will be with you the same way. However, It goes on. Joshua has been marked as Moses' successor. He proved himself. He got into the promised land. He did come back to pay there a good report to all the others of Israel. He's now being commissioned by God. And he's told to enter the land that he's from. But then, three times, God says this. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Let's go back to the passage. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses my servant. Be strong and courageous, and you should cause the people to inherit the land that I called your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on day and night, so that you can be careful to do all according to what is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know when someone says something to you three times? But remember this. So, there they are. There's Joshua. One of them is dead. Boom, boom, boom. My father. Next, I'm going to do this. It's strong and courageous. It's strong and courageous. It's strong and courageous. Why do I have to be strong and courageous? Why? I don't like when you said God said, I'm with you, and then we're broken. Here we go. You know, we need to be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Strong and courageous? No, I think it is the fourth LRN. And I think it puts on Jesus saying, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. David said it, he speaks for 45 minutes on do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Yeah, by the end of it, I'm thinking, what's about to happen? And it's the same way for Joshua, he's celebrating, he's celebrating, he's celebrating, he's celebrating, oh, and then there must be that moment when he said at the million plus people that he was going to lead and go, oh, no, this is so gracious, look at them! Now look at this girl. We've got to look at our times, we've got to look at the life out there. We've got to look at the next violent threat of the mouth. It's just a lot higher than that. We've got to look at the drug issues, the alcohol issues. You've got to look at the people that God has called you to. And do you know what you need to hear? Be strong and courageous. To do it, you've got to be strong and courageous. And the first thing that is given to is to take hold of what's going on. Here's the definition. Strong. Power or force. Robust. Not easily broken. And that's good. Courage. Battle ready in spirit. Be vigorous. An active word, not a passive word. Vigilant, alert, poised to spring into action, bold, brave, heroic feelings. We feel, poised when it's spring into action. Ready, what we're now in. A challenge. So, what first thing does this hold? Take hold of the promise of God. The hill is this. The Jordan is in the sky. And God. King God said, why are things like holding God? And then two million people just think of God. Why? Because I think. The first thing God's going to do when you need that is go and say, hey everyone, Moses is dead, but let's get the article covered. Wait, please.
your first thing you're going to do is, guys, you're going to walk into the Jordan.
What?
You're taking the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan while it's flood?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's really clever. It's really good.
Yeah, we're going to do the most precious thing we've got. We're going to take it in. Oh, and the priest, of course. And we're going to take all of them into the water while it's on the flood.
Hey, you know, I bet you're glad that you did
it. You know, that woman, good.
And so there you go, and they start walking into the Jordan, and then just as God has been with them, he was with them. They take on the cross. What has God said to you for all of this? God, you need to remind yourself of what God has said to you. What has God spoken to you in the church? And as I was praying about this, I thought, there are a number of things God has said. One, you would want to bring our family church. God spoke about changing the name of the family church. Why? Because what God wants to do here is for the band. What do you think? Come to the church. Yeah, you can look at that 2 weeks ago, a year ago, looking for more to come. But God can do so. But Abraham don't have something for life, for us, and the father of the nation. You don't have anything for that. No, you're right. You meant to do it, God. You don't have to do that. Now he's done this. Why would God do something for that? Now he wouldn't deal with it. God is not. That is good, isn't it? Not that you have a nice room. Not that you have a church that the world understands. If you can build a church that the world comes. People understand that the church is going to look after the poor. People understand that the church is down to get on the church understand that they have buildings and facilities. Church understands that. What the church doesn't understand is a supernatural outpouring. What the church doesn't understand, what the world doesn't understand, is that people know who God is. And that they know God is there. And the reason they're doing things is because God is there. People don't understand. The outrageous gift. And we were praying. They don't understand. And that's what God is saying you are to be. To be a church that is actually going to be a thing. Affects the valley. You're going to be a church that people will not understand. They won't understand. Because they are good, they're doing a good thing. They're doing that. Obviously, it's good. But I don't understand why they're seeing people getting healed. I don't understand why they're praying prophets on their own world. I don't understand that actually they're changing the whole world. I don't understand why this is an old building. You can renovate. He's saying something for God's plan is to come back. They understand that this isn't just a religious help. It's no, we're here to radically change the world. We're here to change everything. And this building's been changed. You know what? This is so your town. They don't understand that actually what they're doing is saying, you know what? The climate is going to drop if we get hold of the promises of God. They don't understand that they're saying, you know what? When we get hold of the promises of God, everything changes. That's what we're going for. A church that is not understanding the power of your promise, the power of God's presence. That's the reason. You are the holder. It's bold. It's courage. It's that God has spoken it. Therefore, we believe it. But to do it, we need to prove ourselves. You might be even saying, well, because they're not showing you the building. It's bonkers. It's crazy. You know, it's absolutely crazy. He's done it. He's done it. You know what? From this weekend, what is that? And we'll take a look at it. What's the fact? You know what? You are king. You are king. You are king. The whole country is so perfect. That's not a reason, Lord. Well, you know, you have to have a place. Yeah. Well, no, no, right now. When we did the the Mission Wales, some of the stories. But we had this guy from the Turning Wing who listened to the last of them. He's funded by the Welsh Government in the Scotland. Look at them in the church. How are you? Get hold of the promises. Take it up. Jesus needs to spend time with his Father each day. Before the crucifixion, he needed strength and courage to go through it. Jesus needs to spend time with his Father. That's what we need. There's got to be a new depth of prayer. New depth of faith. We need to meet with the Father. So we need to go to the gospel. And so I love what you said in the worship. I love that you're actually beautiful. You can come and worship from the presence of God. Do you know that is so important? That we come and we meet with Him. And we're thank you, God, so that we can get that courage and boldness to say, but suddenly, family church isn't just worshiping God. It's actually all we do about family church in that state. Get hold of the promise. God is with you. With your light shining, light is God. Young man, your God. God is with you. The second thing is bone craters and when you live. Joshua is told to be buried bone craters in keeping the law and live it. The land they're about to enter is a wicked land. The land they're going for is really wicked. The Canaanite culture and religion was cruel and very immoral. The biggest threat to the Canaanite, to the Israelites, was the Canaanite way of God. It's the biggest threat. And it's what actually was their biggest battle. And it's what judging will follow. The ups and downs of being affected by the Canaanite religion. It was tied up in agriculture and material debt. Temple prostitution was a common way of occurring the weather and the crops. And the biggest challenge for the Israelites was this. It worked. They're coming into this Canaanite way of life that actually is being successful for the Canaanites. They're actually doing well in it. And so the Israelites, if they don't keep meditating on the Lord, keep speaking to God, keep asking Him, they'll say, I can do this. It's good. The rest of God says, I'm out enough. It might work, but not anymore. Oh, that's how you go. Continuing extraordinary moments for Israel. Take their mind off. The law. Take their mind of what God has given them. This was a huge change to Israelites. There'd been no man. Suddenly, they're about to take hold of land and become people of agriculture, of commerce, of building homes, of settling. Everything's about to change. Same for you. You've been no man. You've now got the land. Hold of what God is saying about our character and who we are. Not knowable by the building. You want that building to know the heart of our man. Because you are living in the so, it's hard, isn't it? Living a life more than the Christ. No, last year, me and Liz, part of this is to try and bring an income for us and working with property. Otherwise, there we go. We want to get a contract for something, we said, if I get a contract, put it down the line, it's not down. I've been a wealthy man. I've taken a thing. And then have someone else say to me, you ought to never have five on the TV. I'm going to talk. I have a friend who was in a church in Africa, and he was an unbroken Christian, had three kids, and a Muslim culture following him. And he had to go to job at 19. And it would not be a dream job. It was not the job he'd been hoping for. Yeah, but it was a job, and he was excited. He was going to get a wage, and he was going to take his cap, take a new boat, and he was going to do holidays, and he was going to get everything. He went in. First day, he walked in, and he turned in. The guy sits down. The guy sits in. He said, oh, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be here. He said, such a person. And then I thought, I'll shoot the funeral.
I love that.
and loving of the Lord.
And
and then had this advert that for the first time ever, loads of Christians were watching Channel 4 on a 9 o'clock on Friday night or whenever it was. They've got an advert, they couldn't touch Jesus and me. Then it's probably going to be the last thing I nothing.
Thank you.